This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ipswich serve up an almost faultless display in the FA Cup, and it's game, set and match at Wimbledon. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, following the fortunes of Ipswich Town Football Club for 750 episodes. My name is Craig Finbo, and tonight we're getting back to normal as we're live on a Sunday night, just like Brucey and Tarby at the London Palladium, as reliable as those two old-timers. Not wishing to be rude to my guests. We're live on YouTube and Facebook Live, as I say, and after the event on YouTube and your podcast feed of choice. And I am joined by the perennial Southern away day tripper, Mikey Penty-Smith, and a veteran of a lot of those 750 pods, David. How many of those are you putting your name against, and how are you?
I don't know. Lord knows. I don't know. 400, maybe? I don't know. Maybe? I'm not really sure. No, perhaps not that. Certainly half, I would have thought, perhaps, yeah. I can remember the first one very, very fondly, yeah. Not half as professional. Sorry, Ben, but he'll admit it. Not half as professional as we are now. But yeah, I can remember it fairly clearly.
Brilliant stuff. And you had a good day?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I watched Arsenal somehow contrive to get beaten by Liverpool. Crikey, they could have been like 5-0 up in like 5 minutes. It was sort of mad. And yeah, sort of watched that. But no, other than that, fairly quiet day really.
It's good to see we're not the only ones that are struggling for a striker up front, is it? It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you sign what £130 million striker, whatever he was, what Kai Havertz or whatever, a striker. How much has he gone for in transfer fee? Something ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they're getting. A quick maths: 130 divided by 1.5. Yeah, whatever that is worth of George Hurst, are they? Mikey, how was your trip yesterday? And did the early kickoff curtail train beers? I think we want to know.
No, I'm actually doing dry January, Craig. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, the early kickoff does sort of spoil the drinking a little bit. And where AFC Wimbledon is located, Ellesfield, it's full of really, really nice pubs, but it's also full of really nice brunch spots. So I had a very middle-class away day yesterday. I went to a place called Bean and Hop and had some breakfast quesadillas and a nice pot of English breakfast tea.
Bean and Hop, is that like a combination of... It's like one of these breakfast cafe places. You get to have a coffee and then a bit of hopscotch or something, is it?
No, it's Australian. So they do craft beer and pizza in the evening and fancy breakfasts in the morning. Wasn't my first visit, hopefully won't be the last, but yeah, little bit of a shame not to not to get to enjoy the Wandle and the Leather Bottle and all the other nice pubs along there. But yeah, a nice away day to go to. Very relaxed compared to, I think you notice it more now we've played in these big games recently, just how excited we are by them and the adrenaline that you have going to these games. Because yesterday I didn't feel flat. I was looking forward to watching the game, but I didn't have the same buzz when I got out of bed yesterday morning.
But so it's a bit of a different atmosphere to the last time we were there as well. I would have thought. I just got we got a message in here from Ben about the stewards who potentially weren't quite as clandestine and special ops as they were the last time I was there on Burns night. I think it was a couple of years
we
ago.
We did call it Burns night. Yeah, Burns scored a couple that night, didn't he? No sign of that mob. Yeah, they even let me in with my bottle of coconut water, Craig.
Oh, this gets worse. Oh my god!
This comment from Paul was before the coconut water.
Even before the coconut water. Oh my god! The most middle class football day out in the history. That's fantastic. That is absolutely brilliant.
All right. Oh, so we know Mikey's OD'd on coffee, avocado, and coconut water so far.
Sorry. Did I see somewhere that they had like biggest crowd for like years?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Biggest official crowds since they moved to Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that every single seat that was sold was sat in.
No.
Felt that way in the away end as well. Maybe a few people collecting the point without getting on the bus.
Yeah, well, you say that about buses. I think, to be fair to some people, and that's the reason I didn't go, is the train. There were no trains into Liverpool Street. Well, there were, but only a certain part way past Colchester, and then it's a bus for the rest of the journey sort of thing. So
yeah,
people
great.
May well have bought their ticket and then found out they couldn't easily get there, and it's a bit of a pig to get to from this side of the country in any case. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining us. I've put some hellos and good evenings from people already. As ever, say we're live, so please get your comments in. I'll try and fire up as many as I possibly can, especially if they're to do with Mikey's middle-class status. If you have any questions nearer the time of towards the middle of the show, please drop them in the comments. Otherwise, they may get lost in the maelstrom of other comments. And as ever, as the guys say, if you stick a Q at the beginning, it will help me pick it out, and it will be easier for the guys to then respond to. In terms of news we had this week, we had a little bit earlier in the week, which Dave and Rich and our friend Dan, the Blackburn supporter, came across. That was a great little pod, last minute pod. Rich got to play with his klaxon, I think, for the first time, which is good news. But just quickly, one for you, Mikey, as we hadn't heard from you on this. Lewis Travis, according to Kieran McKenna's post-match interview yesterday, an energetic, combative midfielder. Is that what we need?
I mean, it's not what we need most urgently, is it? But we need a Sam Morsley replacement in the short term. And he may, God forbid, pick up an injury between now and the end of the season. He's almost certainly going to get that ban for the 15 bookings, isn't he? He might get a red card. Who knows? Yeah. And Travis will also be an alternative to Luongo if Luongo plays.
Luongo
can't play the three games in a week. And we don't want to go with Taylor because we need to be a little bit more defensive. He might end up playing with Morsley. So I think it's a really sound piece of business. Another leader in there as well. We notice we're a little bit low on leaders when Morsley isn't on the pitch, aren't we? And obviously Burgess away at the moment as well. So, yeah, I think a really sound signing. I'm not sure what it means for Don Ball. I think he would have liked to have played a lot more than he did at AFC Wimbledon, but that maybe sort of shows where he is now in the pecking order.
Yeah, very possibly. He does seem to be the most like for like ability stroke position wise as Don Ball, doesn't he? Really, of not the non first team starters. Dave, just to say for the people that didn't happen to catch you and Rich and Dan the other day, do you want to give us a quick overview of your thoughts on where he is and where he potentially will fit in, and whether, as Mikey says, whether he could potentially be an even more solid S-Hauser-y nasty midfield alongside Morsy. You wouldn't fancy coming up against that in the Championship, would you really?
No, not at all. No, I think it's probably a win-win for both sides. Certainly, he wasn't getting any. Well, recently he hasn't been getting any game time. He's been on the bench, hasn't come off the bench. Certainly in the last two games. Yeah, and you know, very experienced. What, 200 games, almost Championship player, captain. Got all the qualities, and yeah, sort of really a deep lying, ball winning midfielder. What's really not to like? And a nice to have Dan, who by the way was absolutely brilliant on the pod, yeah. Superb guy. To get a really good endorsement from him as well, and also all the other Blackburn fans that came on the night, they all had nothing bad to say about him. There hasn't been any bust up, I don't think, with Dale Thomas or anything like that. I think he very much, I think, wanted away perhaps at the start of the season, and it didn't happen. Yet he was still made skipper, so he's obviously really well thought of and a good character. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. As Mikey says, 200 odd games under his belt is just nothing to be sniffed at. He's just add a bit more experience into the team. Also, just a quick note that came out in the ADT tail ender last week was we turned down some offers apparently for Idris Elmizouni, obviously currently on loan in League One at Leyton Orient. The offers that we've received are from other League One teams, by all accounts. The off the top of my head, Oxford, Bolton, et cetera, those sort of level of teams. Dave, where do you see him being come January the 31st? Because if it's going to be a permanent, it doesn't sound like it's going to be back in East London, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think there's obviously a figure that we have in mind for him. And I guess if that, if that bid comes in for that figure, from what we understand, I think probably understand that so far the bids have been sort of low six figures. So maybe we're looking closer to, I don't know, quarter of a million or something like that, just plucking a figure out of the air, or maybe slightly higher than that. So I would think that if a bid comes in of that nature, then he'll be away, which kind of a shame. I think he's come through our academy. Obviously he's very well, he's done very well these last couple of seasons at Orient, and a couple of really great loan spells, really, really highly thought of. But yeah, I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna quite dislodge anybody in our midfield at this moment. So, yeah, I think if the right kind of bid comes in, I think he'll be away. And yeah, good luck to the lad.
Yeah, and it is a shame, but from a financial perspective, and I don't profess to know much about the financials. It's the reason why Chelsea are rumoured to be looking to cash in on Gallagher, is it's pure profit, isn't it? If a player comes from your academy through your youth team, then it's pure profit you can add into your various financial fair play calculations, bits and pieces like that. But, having signed Jack Taylor and now having signed Travis from Blackburn, then, you'd think that he's far, far down the pecking order now, isn't it? So for his own career and a bit of security, etc. stop those loan moves and get yourself a home to be with for the next couple of years.
And I think he's certainly good enough to play in a type. I would have thought of a Bolton. I know Derby were showing some interest. You'd think he'd certainly be good enough for that to a higher part of League One for sure.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, good luck to him. One final small piece of news. The ITFC women's team lost today 1-0 at home to Oxford. I believe they were playing against, I'll say 10 men, 10 women for the majority of the second half, but couldn't break them down. Stop me if you've heard this one before. They struggled to break down Oxford team and ended up losing 1-0, which means they've lost a bit of ground. I think they're currently fourth, I think I read, in their division. So yeah, a bit of ground to make up on the teams above them, who I think all won. So going on to yesterday's match, as I say, Mikey, you were there yesterday. I'll bring up the team so we can have a quick chat through those. Bear with me one sec. In terms of ourselves, I think we'll obviously concentrate more on ourselves. There were six changes to the draw at Stoke, and it was arguably a stronger team than a lot of people were maybe predicting that we'd put out. But I suppose by the same token, there's not an awful lot more within the squad to allow us to rest and rotate. Headlines, I suppose, were Christian Walton back in goal for only his second start of the season, and his first since the cup game against Fulham at home on the 1st of November in the Rumbelows Cup. Three of the back four were the same that played at Stoke. Cameron Humphreys coming in for Harry Clark, giving him a rest on the left back. In the middle, Taylor came in for Luongo and partnered Morsey. And then up front, maybe surprisingly, Broadhead was the one constant there from the Stoke game, with Harness, Hutchinson and Ladapo coming in for a start. So, Mikey, from your perspective, was that a surprise? And is there anything in there that you'd like to see and anything you would have liked to have seen?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't overly surprised by how strong it was. I think we were all expecting Sam Morsey to play because of the fact he's not going to be able to play the next couple of games. But it is always a little bit of a surprise when you see such a strong team in a cup game, especially after what we did against Fulham in the Carabao Cup. But that was obviously in a really busy period, whereas now there's a little bit more space between games. It was nice to see Walton back. Humphreys needs the minutes, doesn't he? Good to see Edmondson play again. Wolfenden getting another 90 minutes. I suppose he hasn't been playing every single game, has he? So he's absolutely fine to play. It was good that we were able to give the likes of Connor Chaplin and Masuongo just a complete rest. A little bit of a surprise by how much Nathan Broadhead played, but I think that was with a view to trying to get his eye back in and maybe trying to score a goal, but he ended up playing in two different positions, didn't he? And I think overall he had a decent game, obviously against weaker opposition than what we're usually up against, but he looked well up for it. And it as a fan going, you hope that it's this sort of hybrid team. It was a big game for some of those players. I think Christian Walton, my mate who I was with, who isn't called Tarquin, said that he could see Christian Walton potentially overplaying it a little bit because he's desperately trying to show that he can play with the ball at his feet as well. Don't think that was really the case. It was a big game for Jack Taylor as well. He had sort of an up and down game, but we'll get into that. But yeah, overall, no huge surprises there. I suppose Tu and Zabi playing right back again, but that was because of the injuries and illnesses.
Maybe getting him up to speed, and you know, we may be having to rely on him to do similar for the next
couple and it's
of
good
weeks
it's
with
good
injuries.
It's good to see that he's able to easily get through 90 minutes. I think his body must be at a good place to be able to get through 90 minutes in centre back, and getting through 90 minutes in right back, I can tell you, is a very different thing. But he definitely looks up to it. And I think he's going to be a really important player between now and the end of the season, especially if Brandon Williams isn't going to play a huge part.
Yeah, well, Brandon Williams was, according to Kieran McKenna, ill.
Yeah.
You can use your own quotation marks if you wish. So he wasn't in the squad. And Dave, yeah, very similar question to you, but obviously keep it briefer, because any surprises in there. And also from a Wimbledon perspective, I suppose, the one name that we all recognise in there is Harry Pell, professional bell end. He of the boot the ball out of Accrington Town Centre fame of a few seasons ago. And a bit of a shame we didn't get to see their rising star, isn't it? Ali Hamadi,
who's with
the Asian Cup, isn't he?
Yeah, Iran or someone. They've got two away, Iraq, and one's away with Lebanon as well, I think. Someone else. As Mikey said, no massive surprises there. Pretty strong lineup. Hmm. Relatively pleased with that. Maybe slightly surprised to see Broder. Just one thing, it's a bit unfortunate for Dom Ball, really. I mean, it's an odd one, really, with Dom Ball, because probably Morsey doesn't get pick up that yellow card last week. Dom Ball probably plays this yesterday, doesn't he? No doubt about it. So it's kind of an odd one. And now they've signed Travis. So yeah, maybe he is one that will unfortunately miss out. But Yeah, the other Wimbledon name I recognise there is Alex Pearce, perennial.
Perennial name
that comes up against us sort of seemingly season after season, but I'm sure it's not quite like that. But yeah.
He looks and runs like a Sunday league player now. He really does.
No offense, Alex, if you're watching. Oh, yeah.
He does not move like a professional footballer anymore, bless him. But obviously he's still got it up here, hasn't he? And he's a good footballer.
Alex, if you're in the comments, you feel free to have a go back free. At Mikey's brunch of choice from yesterday.
Yeah.
So in terms of the match, it's a pretty even start for the first 5 or so minutes. A lot of sparring going on between the two teams, but it didn't take long, Dave, did it, for us to get ahead?
No, it didn't. And it's that corner routine again, isn't it? But this time, t'other way round. So this time, it's Broadhead that does the sort of hiding in the pack. I think Taylor takes a corner wide right and sort of hits it around about that penalty spot area, which we know is the routine. And Broadhead peels off and doesn't get great connection, but then it's pinball stuff, isn't it? You get one sort of massive deflection, takes it across the 6-yard box, and then I think it's unfortunate, bounces in off Davis's shins, and the goalkeeper's totally out of it. So yeah, obviously well rehearsed training ground move. Not cleanly, but not cleanly put in, but works again, which is good to see.
Yeah, and another double deflection helping us out for the second time in a week or so. Yeah,
we get all the luck, don't we?
Oh, we do, don't we?
So they got us off to a good start, and as Dan has said here in the comments, we'd had a couple of corners beforehand as well, so we were starting to exert a little bit of pressure. And we were getting a lot of crosses in, certainly from the left-hand side. Humphreys was getting up and down that wing to good effect, and I say getting some decent crosses in. I think Humphreys had got a cross in, and Ladapo and Hutchison at the back post sort of got tangled up in each other's way for a little bit. But then in front of you, Mikey, there was a mostly completely undisputed penalty.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, Wolfenden, he was really strong in the first half. A few times the wide players kind of got in behind, and Wolfenden's cleared up, put a couple out for a corner. And Ipswich fans behind the goal are doing this weird thing where they're going, oh, for a corner. And then it just makes me think he's going to whip in a really nice corner here, which he inevitably does. Really nice in-swinging corner, sort of Martin Waghorn-esque, but obviously on his right foot, Dave. loads of pace. And Pearce, the Sunday league player, gets the run on Taylor at the back post. But actually, it's Tuan Zabi does get the first contact. So you say get the first contact, but that is actually what's ended up causing the issue, because Taylor's body position is all over the place. His hands are above his head somehow. And yeah, he handles it. He goes down in a heap. And I think the only suggestion from the Ipswich players is maybe there was a foul in there somewhere, but I'm not sure there was. Pretty clear penalty, and it was a really well struck penalty as well. Sure. Christian Wharton had no chance with that one, did he?
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that was against the run of play, or were Wimbledon starting to sort of edge themselves back into it after our early goal?
Yeah, they were getting forward pretty well, and it was we weren't in complete control of the game. Let's put it that way. Wimbledon did break on us a couple of times, but without ever really getting in behind. But they were forcing throw-ins and corner kicks and things like that, and they were probably looking at a corner kick or a free kick as their best chance of getting back into the game, and that's what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick one here from Gary saying he thought the atmosphere was a bit flat in the away end yesterday. I suppose that may be due to the timings of it. People are full of bloody sourdough and avocado.
Coconut
water.
Sort of weighs
heavily on the vocal cords. How did you think it was yesterday, Mikey?
It was flat. Yeah. But I think it was always
timing, though, isn't it?
It's the timing, and I think a lot of people have had to drive there or get lost on the Galloway coaches. Decent bar area out the back of the away end. Pretty expensive, though. It's about £7 for a pint. yeah, it was never going to be an electric atmosphere in there. Maybe if it was an evening game,
it would
have been, but it's not a particularly raucous home crowd at Wimbledon either. It's a, very much a family orientated crowd who do get behind their team well, and it's quite a good atmosphere once it gets going. But yeah, overall, it was pretty flat in the away end.
Yeah, I think as Rich is asking, I thought the early kickoff was for the international football community to be able to watch us live. Quite know why they would have chosen AFC Wimbledon versus Ipswich, probably because they wanted to show Dave Besant's face every 2 or 3 minutes on the feed. They're glad they picked him out in the crowd because it gave him something to look at for the majority of Sunday.
He was on the front page of the programme as well.
Was he really?
Imagine every season, surely, in the FA Cup. And they brought him out on the pitch before the game as well.
Yeah, fair play.
Lovely stuff. For my time, of course, that.
Couldn't possibly comment. In terms of going back to the match, Harness, I thought, played well. Certainly in the first half, played well. Him, Hutchinson, Twenzaber was sort of getting some triangles going down our right, I think it was, getting crosses in again, and they got a cross into Ladapo. There was another occasion where a ball was pinged into Freddie's feet and he controlled it nicely, but much the ire of some of our fans, it ran away to the corner flag and he didn't sprint after it, whereas their defender did and clawed it back. But we'll come to Freddie later on when we sum up the game as a whole. There was a good bit of skill, actually. Dave, I'll go to you. From a good bit of broadhead skill leading up to our second goal just before half time.
That was super. You mentioned Hutchinson earlier. I thought he was at his most frustrating yesterday. Oh my God, the boy. The times he gets himself in such good positions and his final decision making is just, well, I don't know. He's still young. I suppose you've got to give him a bit of a pass. He's still young, but goodness me. I mean, this was brilliant from Broadhead. I think it's Wolfenden, sort of, who could have had a cigar on most of yesterday. He was superb, wasn't he? But sort of gets the ball down and sort of chips that ball forward to about 20 yards out, not far from the edge of the box. I mean, the chest trap's good enough. Then he takes it down and spins away from the fullback in one movement. It's total class. And a good hit as well. Great. That'd have been a hell of a goal. Good save from the keeper. He gets his sort of left foot shot off pretty early. Really good save from the keeper, but a corner. And then, he gets a corner. It's one of those, someone alluded to earlier, sort of near post, well struck. I think Taylor goes for it, sort of misses it, maybe. Certainly unsights perhaps the fullback who's on the post there. Seems to just deflects up in the air, and Twanzebe's right there just to sort of nod it in from 6 yards, maybe something like that. For I think not only his first goal for Town, but pretty sure I read somewhere his first ever senior goal, I believe. So, off the mark. So, I mean, not that he's played for his age, not that he's played that many senior games, but really good. Good time of score. I think we were pretty much getting in the ascendancy by then. As you said, Ladap had a couple of chances and we were getting balls into the box. 40 minutes, timely time to score just before half time. And nicely tucked away.
And given it was, of course, Twenzaby, 6'1", 6'2", and he had to jump a little bit, he still had to evade Harry Pell's foot, which was... quite impressive.
That's a good finish.
I think by this time Harry had already been booked for a somewhat agricultural tackle on Sam Morsey from behind as Morsey broke free. I just wonder whether we hadn't scored there and he had made contact with Axel's head, it may have been a different story from that.
Wouldn't have been his fault though, would it, Craig? And I'm sure he'd have been really angry with the referee if anything went against him.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure he just calmed down, not doing things silly for the rest of the match. So in terms of the first half, as you say, Dave, I made a few notes as I was watching and saying that nothing was really coming off of Hutchinson at that point. But what I did find is that when he was losing it, he does put some work in to get back now, doesn't he? And he's getting stronger as well at that.
No, I've got to give the boy a nod for that. No, perhaps it's just me just getting frustrated with the final ball because he's got so much, has he? We know he's so much talent. He could go left. He can go both left or right off his left or right foot. And it's just, your final just decision-making. But, yeah, you're right about tracking back. There was once where he lost the ball and he must have ran 60, 70 yards and actually shepherded the ball behind for our goal kick. So, that part,
wasn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Mm. That part of his play's come on absolutely no end. You could say that's come from encouragement from the coaches, hasn't it?
Yeah, 100. And, you know, Chelsea are going to get a far more rounded player back than, exactly. than they sent to us in August, aren't they?
Yeah.
So in terms of half-time, Mikey, your thoughts and general feelings at how things are going 2-1 up at half-time?
Yeah, I mean, by that stage, feeling pretty much in control. As long as we can come out strong at the start of the second half, I sort of had every feeling that we were going to see the game out pretty comfortably and maybe score a couple more goals, use the bench a little bit. I was hoping that Freddie Ladapo might get another chance in front of goal. Would have been nice to see him get a goal, and Nathan Broadhead as well. I sort of had my fingers crossed for one of those two finding the net.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we say that starting off the second half strongly. We certainly did, didn't we? Cameron Humphreys had that cross shot, which was slammed into the post by their guy sliding in about 3 yards out in front of you. Pell then had a header saved. And then on 56 minutes, you were saying about potentially getting Freddie on the score sheet. Well, he's not going to, because he got dragged off relatively early, you'd have thought, 56 minutes in. Do you want to do it now? Let's talk about him now. So from your perspective, Mikey, in terms of Freddie, how must he be feeling? What are your feelings about where he currently finds himself at Town?
Yeah, so Freddie Ladapo, I really like and I really appreciate him for his efforts and also the goals and fantastic performances that he provided last season in the promotion season. But I think we're all in agreement that he's a League One striker. It's going to be hard for him to step up in the Championship. He scored those two goals against Cardiff early on in the season. He looked like maybe he could be a useful backup for George Hirst, but he just hasn't had enough time on the pitch. And he's very much a confidence player and a player that needs to get his eye in. Because of the fact that he doesn't have blistering pace and he doesn't win everything in the air, I think maybe Ipswich fans expect him to cover every single blade of grass. But I think because his style is really to be back to goal and battling with defenders, he seems to save his energy for that and then trying to find himself in the right areas. And he still is finding himself in the right areas, but he's just been snatchy. And I think he's just kind of showed that there's not one area of his game that you'd say is Championship quality at the moment. Unfortunately,
it's through no fault of his own. Now he's potentially reached his ceiling, which is fair enough. You know, he's of a certain age where he's probably not going to be able to reach even higher heights from a ability perspective. But you know, through no fault of his own and through no fault of our own, we've just seems to have progressed maybe a little bit further than he is capable of, which is, I say, it's no detriment to him. And I just, you know, not wishing to preach to people, they can think what they think and they can shout what they think, but I don't think that it's particularly conducive to getting the best out of someone by either sarcastically applauding or, you know, whatever you happen to do, or moan and groan. At the end of the day, he's up front trying to do a job and score goals for your team, and then, you know, just give the guy a break. And again, see what you reckon by the end of January, Dave. Similar question to the El Mazzuni question earlier.
Possibly. Look, he's like any striker at any level of football. He just needs a goal, any sort of goal. Yeah, I admit, I don't think he's totally Championship quality. I don't think he is. But for instance, he's really unlucky, you know, against QPR. Yeah, okay, you say 1-on-1, he should score. But Begovic got lucky there, like hits him and then deflects over the bar, doesn't it? It was really unlucky. That just could deflect in, and he's often, you know, not saying he's often going to set the world alight, but it's a goal and, you know, confidence. You know, with that, your confidence comes back. You're probably, your first touch improves because you're confident and you start to do things. You're not trying too hard, if you know what I mean. You just start to do things naturally. You know, it just comes to. But, yeah, I mean, it very much depends. I don't think he'll go until we've definitely got that old cliche, someone in the building or virtually in the building. I can't see him going anywhere just yet. We need you do need that a presence up there.
Yeah, absolutely. We Joe's talked about sliding doors moments for Dane Scarlett's career at Ipswich, hasn't he, in terms of cup ties and being away of England when we needed him here. But you might find that similarly with poor old Freddie, that he was probably lined up to make a move somewhere else until George Hirst's hamstring went twang, and finds himself back in a team which he might not fit into at the moment, unfortunately. But what we did see as part of that substitution was our first glimpse of Jeremy Sarmiento, who started on the left but tended to drift inside, wearing potentially the smallest shin pads I have ever seen. These were matchbox sized.
Yeah, Tic Tacs, aren't they? Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, he's very much looks the part of a modern footballer, doesn't he? The socks really low down, the beautiful white teeth, the perfect haircut. Modern footballer. And as we soon found out as well, he knows how to throw himself to the ground when he's been touched as well. Maybe living up to a few stereotypes.
Yeah, I think from what we saw of him in the last 30, 40 minutes of the match, I think he's going to obtain a fair few free kicks, you would have thought, just by virtue of getting on the ball and running with it. He just seems to have that sort of style where it's not glued to his feet when he dribbles with it. It's sort of always a little bit in front of him, so he's always going to be tempting for a defender to come in and nick it or side him down.
I like the look of him, sort of saying languid left foot, just like that kind of player. Looks he's got a bit about him, a bit of flair about him, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think someone said on the Telegram group, hard to judge him yesterday. Obviously against lower league opposition, and also he came on against 10 men as well, so kind of hard to judge him on yesterday. But I think on first sighting, yeah, he kind of looks the part. Interesting to see if he gets any minutes at home against Sunderland next week. That might be a different kettle of fish. But from what I saw of him, looks good.
And he's potentially, Mikey, the sort of player that you want if you're playing against teams who we've seen relatively recently who just sit in a low block. They're not giving you any space behind, and we haven't potentially got a central midfielder, a Magilton-esque central midfielder to pick a lock. Okay, well, in that case, give it to someone's feet and let him run.
Yeah, let him run, let him win free kicks and draw players out to him. He'll definitely make things happen. He'll be that sort of player. I think he will frustrate as well. I think he will give the ball away quite a bit, and he'll probably cut back inside sometimes when you just want him to make that run to the byline. But he's another good plan B to have, and if he starts scoring goals, getting assists, he might become plan A.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
So shortly after Sarmiento joined the fray, we saw what I think can only be described as a flailing arm. I think the only time you will see the word flailing is when it's added to the word arm when describing a particular challenge within a football match. And this particular flailing arm belonged to Harry Pell and ended up in the face of George Edmondson. Mikey, any complaints from our side on that one? I know there were plenty from Wimbledon's.
No, so I observed that Pell is a really tall lad, but he always seemed he'd get up really, really early for his headers and he hangs in the air well. And even though he looked like he was higher than Wolfenden and Edmondson every time he went up for a header, it always felt like we got first contact and ultimately won the header. I don't know whether he got a little bit frustrated by that or whether it was maybe a little bit accidental, but you can't swing arms into people's faces when you're on a yellow card, can you?
No. Yeah, no. Go on, Dave.
Sorry, yeah, the assistant had his flag up straight away, didn't he? You see beyond him, assistant flagged it straight away, and the ref just immediately, well, he was on a yellow, so, yeah, gave the ref an easy excuse there, didn't he?
Yeah, mm.
And he probably should have had another yellow for how long it took him to get off the pitch as well.
Get off the pitch, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a shame. 67 minutes, Mikey, right in front of you. There was not a bad shout for another handball, another penalty, was there?
What was that one, Craig?
I can't think who it was. One of their defenders. It's it was almost not a carbon copy, but a very similar handball. To the one in the first, Taylor's one in the first half. I thought, and it looked clear as a bell on the replays on the telly as well.
Yeah, that was definitely a penalty, and it's one of those where you give the first one, you kind of have to give the second one because it's kind of the same thing. It's maybe because it wasn't his. That was the big centre back that came off the Pierce, wasn't it? And he looked pretty ungainly. I think
maybe the ref didn't see it.
Maybe complicated by the fact that he's hit it with his foot onto his arm or something like that. And it's a little bit of a grey area at the moment about when it's a handball and when it isn't. But I think that probably should have been a penalty, but maybe having given the red card, the ref didn't want to give us a penalty as well, and sort of it would have ended the game there and then.
Well, it did take us a little while to actually end the game as a contest. We did, obviously, from here on in, we had the vast majority of the ball. I think Harness had a shot, went wide. There was a mistake by Taylor. You said earlier that he had a bit of an up and down game, Mike. I think he gave the ball away pretty much right in the middle of the pitch, which required a save from Walton. But we're just getting umpteen crosses into the box by now from both sides. You know, Humphreys, I think, had an effort at the far post, a header that got tipped over. Wolfie had a goal, didn't he, disallowed for a pretty obvious offside. And then we made three subs to sort of see the game out. We brought on Wes Burns, Buabo and Aluko came on for Harness, Broadhead and Hutchinson. Didn't really get to see much from Aluko, although the next two almost combined for the final goal of the match. Can't think which one of you two guys is going to talk to that. Mikey, is this your one?
Yeah, I'll go through this one. So, yeah, Wimbledon have a man down in the middle of the pitch, but I think they carried on playing. So we were always going to carry on playing. And Morsley gets the ball off to Nzabi, as he often does. He just goes over and says, come on, give me the ball here. And we said that we don't have a Jim Magilton player that can pick the lock, but that was a really nice through ball from Morsley. Burns, fresh legs, absolute nightmare for the left back, seeing him come on. And Burns just really direct. I think this is when he's at his best. And he just doesn't overcomplicate this one. He doesn't even get his head up and think, who can I pick out here? Goalkeeper wasn't having a particularly good game. I think he's just thought, I'm just going to hit this as hard as I can. Low, the keeper's not going to hold it, and then we should get the rebound. And it actually popped out, and I thought, oh, maybe Buabo's going to get this, but it was Taylor, who obviously had a little bit more momentum and read the rebound, tapped it in, and we're safely through to the next round. Job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, look, I don't know the ins and outs of football players' contracts, but Taylor may well have cost dear old Buabo a few quid by tapping that one ahead of him, couldn't he? And I'm sure Taylor's got a few more quid in the bank than poor old Buabo has at the moment in time. But yeah, it was nice to see him being really pissed off that someone else got there in front of him. I think it just shows an actual proper striker's instinct, I suppose, more than anything else.
Yeah.
But as you say, Mikey, that was all she wrote. So a pretty professional performance, I think, all things said and done. I'll get the stats up here for everyone to be able to see. There weren't as many stats produced yesterday. I couldn't find, I think presumably because there's just so many games going on at the same time, etc., and maybe not quite as much people analysing AFC Wimbledon versus Ipswich. But I think, Dave, from those stats alone, you can see that it was going to be a bit one-sided, and as I say, a professional job done despite the protestations of Johnny Jackson thinking that they were robbed.
Yeah, I think that's going a bit far, isn't it? No, I always thought we were just totally in control yesterday. I mean, even after they equalised, it wasn't one of those games you think, oh, here we go. It just wasn't one of those games. Always looked like we had a little bit more in the tank, and obviously you can see we had we had strength on the benches if necessary. But I mean, certainly second half, Morsy just completely ran the game, didn't he? I think alluding to the third goal, I'm pretty sure almost in shot when Morsy receives the ball from Transabi. There's barely any other player in shot in about 10 yards either side of him, for goodness sake. So sorry, no disrespect. I mean, Wimbledon yesterday, lower league team, but you see what we're going to miss next Saturday in the game after. Absolutely, completely bossed the game, didn't he? No good. I thought Broadhead again, taking into consideration the opposition. Some of his touches were great again. He was on it, wasn't he? A bit, you know, like Mikey said, would have been great to see him score. All right, he credited perhaps. Well, not yeah. Good assist perhaps for the first goal and a corner for the second goal, but been great to see him score. But I thought some of his touches yesterday were really good, and thought, yeah, okay, he's back to where he should be. So yeah, big game next. I mean, we'll speak briefly about it, no doubt, in a minute, but yeah, get that out of the way. Be nice to get the Spurs away, something like that. Would love that, wouldn't you? Something like that would be great, wouldn't it? You know, because let's face it, our focus isn't going to be the FA Cup be all and end all for us this season. But no, professional job done, and let's move on to Sunderland next Saturday.
You finally want to get to see a bit more of Dane Scarlett, do you, Dave?
So, yeah, he came on, didn't he? Yeah, he came off the bench, didn't he? Great, he had what, at least like 20-20. I didn't see I saw Perreault's goal, by the way. Flipping, what a goal that was. And defy physics, that one. It was crazy.
You seen Bamford's goal, Dave?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen it. No.
Yeah, look that one up. That is.
Yeah, okay. No, I saw
potential Puskas award winner, that one.
Oh, wowzers. Mm.
They had elements of Joe Garner's volley for Preston North End.
No, oh, stop it. No, really? Yeah. Oh, wowzers. He, so it was good to see Broadhead back. You know, good to see Broadhead back with, you know, and back, I thought, to his, you know, to his best. You know, the ball wasn't bad. Close control was good and everything. So, yeah, job well done. Let's move on to Sunderland next week. And, where the important stuff starts again. But, yeah, be watching the draw with interest tomorrow. Let's hope we get a good one, goodness sake.
Yeah. Well, as you said, I think we got exactly what we needed out of it. Don't know, people got minutes into the legs. Unfortunately, as Mikey said, probably a goal for Freddie and maybe a goal for Broadhead. But, you know, as you say, Dave, I think Broadhead is looking back to his sharp best.
Yeah.
As I say to people, please, I've picked out some questions that have come in already, but please feel free to stick some more into the comments. I'll get to them if I can. Please put a queue at the front so I can pick them up. A quick note from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Innovation Labs is business hub and co-working space with strategic locations across Suffolk. Our aim is to foster innovation, entrepreneurship, business growth, and the development of an AI centre of excellence in Suffolk. Monthly hot desks are available from just £79. For more info, head to innovationlabsgroup.com or contact info@innovationlabsgroup.com. Innovation Labs, providing support for businesses across Suffolk. Locations in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, Woodbridge, with more to follow.
Well done, Mikey, as ever, hit the mark, spot on. Just a quick one. In terms of plugs from our side, as I said at the beginning, we're back to normal now, pretty much. So there will be a pre-match show, Rich and Seb, live Thursday night, 8 p.m. as ever. So please feel free to join the guys on that. We might have something midweek, but keep an eye on the various socials for that. And then again, next Sunday we'll be live again as per normal, 8 p.m. for the flagship show after Sunderland on Saturday. So yeah, back to normal. Thursday 8 p.m. live, Sunday 8 p.m. live. So yeah, we're getting back to normal now after the weird Christmas break. Everything else is on at bluemondayitfc.co.uk. And not wishing to bore everybody, but I think Telegram has been really coming into its own over the Christmas period. We're covering all bases now. Now the January transfer window is open. Oh. Rich could not wait. He's been counting down the minutes to open up the transfer scurrilous rumor transfer chat. So that's open. Match day is open. There's a lot of statistical analysis of the season so far, et cetera, on there. Obviously, there's the round table chats that we get. People within the Telegram group can come on and have a chat and have their own little show, which gets put out as a private, like, little YouTube show, which is fantastic. And then there's everything else. The darts was taking precedent over the last couple of weeks, wasn't it, Dave? Where it was actually pretty much like a watch along darts channel for 2 weeks.
The Everything Not channel was certainly turned over to darts for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and rightly so. I mean, it's been incredible. So certainly the semi-finals, quarterfinals onwards, were just superb, weren't they? Absolutely brilliant. Can't believe there wasn't a 9-darter. Just still can't believe that, but hey, can't have everything.
Plenty of big fish though, weren't there? There's a lot of 170s.
A lot of big fish.
Cool. Just a few questions from yesterday. Thank you, everyone. I can see all the questions coming in. I'll get round to as many as I possibly can. a lot of them, obviously, as you can probably understand, are along similar lines. But just a few questions from yesterday for myself. Taylor, Mike, you mentioned it earlier in terms of a bit of a up and down performance. Are his performances in general edging him closer to a star, or do you actually see him dropping down the pecking order now with the signing of Travis?
Yeah, I think I potentially see him dropping down the order because he's one of those where I think his best chance of playing is alongside Sam Morsy. I don't think it's really worked when he's played alongside Luongo. Maybe we'll see him play alongside Travis if Luongo dips out at any point, but you imagine that he's going to be pretty fresh. Just don't feel like he quite did enough. Not that it will be looked at. It's not like Kieran McKenna's just going to say, well, how did the Wimbledon game go? That's how I'm going to decide what I'm going to do against Sunderland and Leicester. But he didn't massively stake a claim. He didn't dominate that midfield alongside Morsy. So I think it's unlikely that he's going to be given the nod. But is Travis going to be able to play 90 minutes? He hasn't played an awful lot of football recently, so maybe he's only going to play an hour and then Taylor comes on for the last half an hour. I think his long-distance shooting does give us an extra something as well in tight games. I think we will see Taylor, and he may get a start in one of those two games, but I don't think he's nailed on by any means.
No, a quick interesting question here from Jason, Dave, is that he wonders whether Taylor should possibly play in the role behind the number 9. And as we were sort of talking about earlier, if Travis does end up playing alongside Morsy, will there be games that you end up having the three of them and Taylor being the more advanced and maybe one of the number 10s missing out?
Yeah, that would be a bit of a departure from our... I mean, I know you're talking about slotting him in that three, but that'd be a little bit of a departure, wouldn't it? But as Mikey said there, I mean, he's shooting. We all know what he can do from outside the box. So, yeah, that's not necessarily the worst call in the world, that actually. But, yeah, I don't really see if the three are fit, if Broadhead... if Broadhead, Chaplin are fit, I don't really see him fitting in there just yet. But certainly... if they're not, yeah, it'd be a shout, I'd have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick one here, actually. There's a couple of questions along similar lines. One from Ed. Obviously, Morsy being a massive miss for the next two games, is Travis going to start in that position? And then a similar question, which I can't find, just how soon do we think that... Oh, here it is from Ben. Basically, will Travis start on Saturday? I suppose it's along the lines of what you were talking about there, Mikey. How match fit is he going to be and how quick will he get up to speed with the way that we play?
Yeah, well, McKenna certainly didn't rush Luongo in when he signed him last January. I know we're in a slightly different position then, and I don't think he really rushed Broadhead in. I remember Hurst started in his, maybe, I think might have been Oxford away, and I think Hurst did start his first game after not playing a huge amount for. I mean, that was Blackburn as well, wasn't it, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
That we signed Hurst from. You imagine that Travis will be fit, and maybe the plan is to just we'll play him for the first hour of the game or the first 55 minutes, and then see where we are. But because of the type of player that he is, it does look like he is kind of our Morsey stand-in. It would be strange for him not to start either of those games, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
I'd have thought so. I mean, it's probably not unfair to compare him to Luongo, because Luongo came unfit, didn't he? I think it was clear, and he barely played at all, had he? I mean, this guy has still played, 20-odd games this season, I think, albeit been on the bench recently, like I said before, and hasn't got on. But, I mean, Morsey's just... He's at such a level that anyone that comes in to replace Morsey is gonna be a drop off. It just is. So I don't think we can underestimate just how big this game is. Knowing what the game is the Saturday after Leicester away, if we can just somehow, because let's face it, because we can beat Sunderland, but given the form, but if we can get 3 points Saturday, that's going to be a huge 3 points, and almost. It's awful to say, meaning the Leicester games are free here, but it almost does become that because Leicester are just away and gone. I mean, I know we're looking over our shoulder at Southampton and to a lesser extent Leeds, but yeah, it's a big game Saturday. It's just such a shame that he's missing Saturday. God.
Yeah. That was not an argument I was having with my mates, is just a discussion we're having about Morsey and the suspension. I said, well, I'd actually prefer him to miss Leicester for that reason, because. With all goodwill in the world, there's a fair chance that we'd be losing Leicester with Morsey in the team in any case. So, not wishing to sound defeatist, but if he's going to miss a game, then let him miss that one. And
at least that's one of them. Yeah, that's a good point. At least that's one of them. Like I said, if we can get beyond Sunderland and pick up a win, that would be huge. I think huge.
It was Leeds away that we were most worried about playing without Sam Morsey, wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, good point.
Well, yeah, good it was, well yeah.
But then he was towing a tightrope at the time, wasn't he? So it wasn't really the proper Morsey that we were seeing.
And I think it wasn't the proper Morsey that day. I think we said for a couple of the goals, Morsey would have sort of bought, if he hadn't been on the nine, he'd have bought a foul there for sure. Yeah, certainly a couple of those. Yeah.
Question here from Andrew. I'm going to rephrase it slightly, if you don't mind, Andrew. Which players do you see moving on rather than would you like to see moved on in January? I suppose in terms of squad size and limits, etc., there's potentially going to have to be a little bit of jiggery-pokery. So apologies, Andrew. I'm just going to rephrase it slightly in terms of who do you see potentially moving on in this window, both of you? Mikey?
Well, I'd like to see one of Freddie Ladapo or Caden Jackson move on, because that means that we've strengthened with at least one signing in the striking department, maybe two. I think I'd quite like to see Cameron Humphreys go and get a loan, because he hasn't done that yet, has he? But we don't know what the Leif Davis situation is, do we? And the Brandon Williams situation as well.
Mm.
So it's kind of difficult, really, because Humphreys could be a really useful player for us again in that left-back position if one of those two isn't going to be around for the next few weeks. Who else, Dave? Go on, help me out.
Just a quick one on that, Mikey, before we go to Dave. Your alter ego here, obviously, Mikey, Jason, is asked that, is there any news on Davis? Because he also would look to send Humphreys out for a loan just to get some, presumably to get some games under his belt. And I'm sort of along similar line thing. He's done a job at left back, left wing back, however you want to describe it. Don't get me wrong, but you're still playing. At the end of the day, you are still playing a central midfielder out of position to accommodate a lack of cover within your squad, aren't you?
Yeah, you say that though, but he gives you with that left foot. He gives you that balance, doesn't he?
Yeah,
100%. That's the thing. So. I'd be surprised. It depends on Davis. It's so much depends on Davis here. You know, if it's clearly he's going to be out for another two or three games, taking him out, I don't see Humphreys going anywhere, because I just think the manager likes that, to have that balance of the left foot And look, I know what QPR. I thought he grew, certainly grew into. Okay, it's QPR, but I think he grew into the role as that game certainly went on. Again, yesterday, I don't think you can totally judge him by yesterday. But again, second half, I thought he did well for the, you know, certainly getting service into the box and stuff. Which, let's face it, which is what that left back, our left back's all about, really.
Yeah. I mean, he was getting into the box yesterday.
Oh, right, with the header for sure. No, he was. Yeah. I mean, the other question is obviously, God's sake, it's Brandon Williams, isn't it? I mean, who knows? Yeah. Who knows what the hell's going on there?
And as we've sort of seen through Davis, our left back doesn't necessarily defend that much. You know, you're reliant on Cameron Burgess or Massimo Luongo shifting across and covering the space is left behind.
It's that natural ball. It's that ball. Okay, it won't now because Burgess isn't there at the moment. It's that ball that Burgess gets and Burgess plays that ball, and you know, a Davis and a Humphreys will let that ball come across him. Take it off on his left foot rather than have a control on his right, bring it inside. That just stops all the momentum. So I think he'll want him. I don't think he'll go anywhere. Well, there's a doubt about Davis fitness wise. But Brandon Williams getting back to it is the one, isn't it? I mean, you just, what was this illness and a knock that came out, didn't I? I think, was that from the manager or the EADT came out with that? Clearly something's not right there.
I can feel Rich saying that the lawyers are listening, Dave.
Well, I'm not saying anything. So yeah, it's just an odd one. You know, it seems that he's got this recurring illness and he's in the squad. He's not in the squad. He's not in the 18. He's on the bench. He's not.
He's not coming on when he's on the bench.
And
either,
he's not coming on. So yeah, look, maybe it is a total, you know, question about his levels of fitness. And he has got some sort of debilitating illness. But it's an odd one at this moment in time, I think.
Yeah, I think from our perspective, we can't hang around, you know, with all goodwill in the world. We can't hang around waiting to see what happens, because at the end of the day, we've lost a guy who can cover two positions. He's shown that he can cover left back. He's shown he can cover right back. And between Davis, Clark and Williams, between the three of them, they were more than capable of covering the two fullback positions between them. That wasn't a position we had to worry about, was it, a month or so ago?
And also, there seems to be a general question over Harry Clark's fitness. Apparently, they're still sort of managing this Achilles issue that he's had. So, yeah, it's a interesting one there. And clearly, Danasian is, again, injured fairly seemingly. Well, we haven't really seen him at all, have we? He's not really hobbling. I'll see him walk up and down the touchline in his big coat before games and stuff. But he's certainly out.
I think poor old JD just suffers from the fact that he plays in one position and one position only, doesn't he?
I think you're right.
Unfortunately, there's a quick one here from Neil. We've spoken about Williams. What's going to happen with Williams? But he asks about, just in general, Neil, if you don't mind, I'll just generalised in terms of deregistering players in January. There's been a lot of chat in the Telegram messages about it not being the done thing. But again, from a club perspective, you know, who do you look after? Do you keep, for example, Lee Evans registered on the off chance he may be fit for the last 6 weeks of a season, or do you find yourself in a position where you have to, unfortunately, deregister someone to get another body in who is going to be immediately available? There's going to be a lot of, as I said before, a lot of jiggery pokery and toing and froing before the end of the transfer window. But I think Evans and Aluka are probably the more pressing matters. Mikey, do you think?
Yeah, I can't see it happening because I just don't see us getting enough players out without bringing players in. So I think we're just going to end up balancing out, and we'll just end up with the same number of players in the squad with including Evans and Aluko. I can't see us signing five players and only letting two or three go out. And that's the only way that I can see us deregistering Evans or Aluko. I don't think we'd deregister Aluko while he's still fit, and he played quite well when he came on against QPR as well.
Maybe, and as we've seen, it doesn't take too many injuries or suspensions to find yourself in requirement. And all of a sudden, where you think you're fully covered in certain positions, within a week, you're playing centre midfielders or centre halves in fullback positions, aren't you?
I mean, when he,
Sorry, when you look at it, our start to the season, our first half of the season, injury-wise, was just a suspension. Well, other than Morsey for a game, was just incredible, really, wasn't it? You know, it was going to come at some point. It's just unfortunate it's come to arguably one of our two key players.
Yeah, absolutely. Most integral, aren't they? Quick one here from Zorro Ark. In terms of our transfer dealings, do you think it's more likely we get a striker that we've been linked with? And someone else, sorry, I apologize, I haven't got it. Kiefer Moore and Jay Stansfield, he's put here. Or will it be a complete left field move like the last two? So, yeah, in terms of our transfer dealings and the general in the know experts, no one saw Travis signing on Friday until the guy was literally holding up the scarf on the pitch, did he?
When I heard it was a Blackburn midfield, I thought, surely I haven't got that out of Portland. Come on. We really mean business, but no, joking apart, no. No, it wouldn't surprise us at all, would it? Would it surprise us? No, it wouldn't. You know, okay, so there was some sort of talk about Sarmiento before he signed, I think, a day or so before he signed. But, you know, Travis came certainly, as you said there, certainly out of left field. So, would it surprise me if an unnamed forward came in? No, it wouldn't.
I think it would be more of a surprise if it was Stansfield or Moore.
I think it would be now, wouldn't it?
Especially as Moore scored against Bournemouth. Problem you have with strikers is that we need these teams to probably sign another striker to be able to get one, don't we? So this is going to drag on probably throughout January unless there's somebody else out there. I'm looking everywhere for a centre forward that we could sign.
Yeah, you're sort of finding yourself in the position, as you rightly say, Mikey, is that you're looking for someone else who's now considered surplus to requirements that their existing club, or as Promotion Given has said here, you go out and sign a top grade striker and just give someone enough cash that makes it an offer too good an offer to refuse. But who's going to be selling their first choice striker in January, apart from Steve Bruce and Huddersfield, Dave?
I mean, you're kind of looking at, perhaps we are looking at someone like that, Corley Woodrow, who perhaps would be surplus to requirements. I mean, obviously, Colby Bishop's been mentioned. Well, he's certainly not, and he's going to cost top dollar, I think, for a League One. He's having a good season again, so he's going to cost probably top dollar for a League One striker. So perhaps we are looking more at that Corley Woodrow type striker who perhaps would fit the Hurst mould quite well. But yeah, we shall see in the coming. I'd be very surprised and ever so well. I think we'd all be slightly disappointed and very surprised if no one comes in. So I'm sure someone will come in, but let's see.
Clock is ticking. A couple more. Thank you very much for all these questions, guys. I say there's an awful lot of questions here. I'm trying to make my way through them, but I'll try and link a couple in to one. One from B. Pym here. Is there a different style of play that we can put out there? Others know how to shut us down. And then linked to that, Phil asks, is the Sarmiento signing an insurance policy for Broadhead to move to being a false nine? Mikey?
Yeah, well, Kieran McKenna's a fantastic coach, isn't he? And he's really modern and forward-thinking. And you see a lot of the top coaches in the Premier League and outside do play that false nine. Or they'll play three tens and no number nine. So, and the fact that he's gone to it a couple of times in games, not for very long, and he's put Broadhead in that position. I think Joe was suggesting maybe Harness was the most likely to do it, but it looks like if we are going to do it, it's going to be Broadhead. I think now we've got a bit of time on the training ground. Can he maybe get Broadhead ready to play that role? It's going to be difficult, isn't it? But is that maybe a better option than Ladapo, who's looking short on confidence at the moment? I think
But it's such a physical role, isn't it, Dave, that our centre forward has to play. And
it is.
We know of all Nathan Broadhead's plus points, you know, his physicality and ability to last a full 90 minutes sprinting at top
pace. I kind of agree with Joe there. I think Harness has perhaps got a more attribute, more physical attribute.
Yeah, but it's not going to be him, though, is it?
Because
he's put Broadhead in that position.
And Broadhead, you know, at times, you know,
he plays a a false nine, it's not as physical. Like you...
No, it is. And there were times, like, for instance, yesterday, you know, that we say the move that led to the, you know, move that led to the second goal. You know, you could see him, you can see what he's about. He's playing with his back to goal there. He's quite comfortable with his back to goal there. Yeah, as Mikey said, whole week to work on something on the training pit, and nothing would surprise me how we line up next Saturday. That will be a really interesting one, won't it?
Hmm. And some people could potentially argue that it's a dereliction of duty on somebody's behalf that you're having to have a conversation about playing Marcus Harness up front or Wes Burns up front or Broadhead up front and having someone like Jarrod Boabo on the bench in January, but might be a question for another day. Sophia, thank you very much for your questions. They've got a couple more to pop up here, but we'll quickly move on because, as I say, we're running out of time a little bit. We've gone over, but we'll carry on going for another few minutes. In terms of the other ties, it was the FA Cup, by the way, everyone. In terms of the other ties that were played yesterday, I won't get up the list and go through them all one by one. But things got off to a startling start on Thursday night with Palace versus Everton. Who could have seen that monstrosity between a Roy Hodgson side and a Sean Dyche side whetting everyone's appetite for the next three or four games. Sammy Smodic put a few noughts on his value, didn't he, with the first half hat trick?
Yeah, that was great. Dan got the aggregate right. He said 4-3, but 5-2. So fair play to Dan, the Blackburn pundit who's on our podcast. He got that absolutely spot on. I don't know if you heard it. We were trying to convince him that perhaps part of exchange deal with Caden Jackson, but sadly Accrington's far too close to Blackburn, and he knew all about him, unfortunately.
Yeah, he'd already done his scouting report on that, hadn't he? Unfortunately.
No disrespect, Caden.
No, much.
None at all.
If you're listening. Coventry smashed Oxford. Oxford on a bit of a funny old run, aren't they, in League One? Newcastle leased past Sunderland. Sheffield Wednesday had a crazy game against Cardiff. They'll be hoping they can turn that into some league form, won't they? Sheffield Wednesday, they seem to have turned a bit of a corner down there. Unfortunately for us, Leicester, Leeds and Southampton all won, so they won't have any upcoming fixture congestion. Well, they will. Upcoming fixture congestion, won't they? Because they all got through to the... through to the next round. And our friend Statman pointed out, I think he said it's 13 years since we've had consecutive seasons reaching the fourth round. So read into that.
He also said only once before have we beaten a team in the FA Cup 3-1 in London and the opposition have had a player sent off. He also said that. So
what year was that day?
Well, that would have been the FA Cup. I thought, when was that? That would have been the FA Cup semi-final at Highbury. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And where he gets this crap from, honestly.
Off
the top of his head as well.
I just plucks it out. I don't know. He does it.
So in terms of the draw, it's Monday night. It's before the latest Man U FA Cup tie live on telly. But as it's before the match, they've got a schedule to hit and they won't be dragging it out like they tend to sometimes. So I think it's due to be happening about 10 to 8 on Monday evening. We are ball number 11 in tomorrow's draw. And just in line with that, a question here from Steve to you guys. You've already said, Dave, potentially an away trip to Tottenham would be towards the top of your list.
Yeah.
But what would you be after? A potential free hit to get into the next round?
Yeah, a top team away, sort of like Spurs or a Liverpool or Man City, something like that. Top team away, I think, or a free hit at home.
Yeah. Mikey, any preferences, any particular teams that you want? Any brunch locations in South London that take your fancy?
Just looking to see if Forest Green is still in the cupboard. I think they are, Mikey. I don't think so.
It's a when in Rome thing. I was living the Elsfield life just for one day. I'd quite like Everton or Crystal Palace. Everton away, I haven't seen us play at Goodison. It's not going to be there for much longer. Mm-hmm. And Crystal Palace, obviously my wife and in-laws are Crystal Palace fans. So I wouldn't mind that draw. Or Maidstone at home. I've seen a couple of people say that. Yeah, Sean O'Halloran has said Maidstone at home. Yeah, because it's an opportunity to play some youngsters, isn't it? And might be cheap tickets as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a few people coming in with similar lines. I think I'm the same as you, Mikey. I wouldn't mind a trip to Everton for the same reason, just before they knock Goodison down. But then failing that, it'd be nice for people who've got kids of a certain age who have potentially haven't been to Premier League grounds yet to go and see any Premier League ground of any description, really, I think.
Yeah, just to sort of get your eye on him before next season, right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah, get your travel plans sorted. Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you very much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very, very much to everyone who's joined us in the chat. There's been literally hundreds of you, and the associated comments have all been gratefully received. Thank you to Mikey. Thank you to Dave for your time. Apologies for ribbing you slightly, Mikey, during the show.
No worries.
All in good spirits. And as I say, we'll be back on Thursday live at 8 p.m. for the pre-match show. And as ever, the flagship will be live Sunday night at 8 p.m. also. So thanks very much to me. Have a good week, and we shall see you at the times previously advised.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.